This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We rely on station sponsors to help keep us on air, online, and on demand via podcast. You can support Joy sponsor Audible, and they'll keep supporting us. Head to audible.com.au/joy now. You'll support Joy and get a free audiobook. audible.com.au/joy.
Joy 94.9, in partnership with Living Positive Victoria, proudly presents this World AIDS Day highlight recorded earlier at the Doherty Institute.
I now invite Dr. Clovis Palmer, who will be our keynote speaker today. Clovis currently leads the Immunometabolism Laboratory at the Centre for Biomedical Research at the Burnet Institute. He is also interested in premature ageing and nutrition in people living with HIV. Dr. Palmer and his team have developed new methods of understanding how HIV exhausts the energy reserves in immune cells. He works with several collaborators in Argentina, Australia, Greece, Jamaica, Malaysia, and the USA. His group also focuses on developing point-of-care tests to improve the health and well-being of people living with HIV in resource-rich and resource-constrained settings. He was a recipient of the inaugural 2010 Creative and Novel Ideas in HIV Research Grant, administered by the NIH and the International AIDS Society, and has co-authored over 25 publications. He has received many national and international awards for his work, is a section editor for the Journal of Medicine and reviews for several journals, including the prestigious AIDS and Hepatology Journal. Clovis has been exemplary in his engagement with the HIV sector, not just as a researcher, but reaching out, communicating and genuinely understanding people living with HIV. I welcome Clovis Palmer.
Thank you, my friend Richard. Who would have thought 20 years ago a teenage boy in a country town in Jamaica would be standing in front of you today delivering a message, getting to zero? In those days, I didn't understand the complexities of HIV. I didn't understand what it meant by discrimination, policies. All I wanted to do was to help those dying young men and women staring through the television screen. I could remember those young women holding their precious little children, clinging, looking helplessly through the television screen. Many of them are no longer with us today, but their lives, their hopes, their aspirations were not in vain. Today, they left us with a challenge. Zero new HIV infection, zero AIDS-related death, and zero discrimination. Can I see a show of hands who believe that getting to zero is possible? Come on, I want to see who believes. Great. I like that. But how do we achieve this when the current global climate is one of misunderstanding, blame, poor health care? The challenges are great, enormous. But by the end of this talk, I hope that we all will be motivated to do more, to continue the great fight. For millions around the world, HIV is still a death sentence. For many, it's not. And for others, it's like living in hell. Oh yes, it's like living in hell. Last year alone, in the Asia-Pacific region, over 350,000 persons were newly diagnosed with HIV. That's the population of Canberra. These are real human beings with aspirations, with hopes. They are human beings trying to make a living and then having to deal with a life-changing event. 2 years ago, while visiting Jamaica, I was introduced to a young man, well called Jason. Well-built, muscular, about 30 years old and diagnosed with HIV infection. He had rashes on his skin and he complained of diarrhea and weakness, even though he was on antiretroviral treatment. He didn't know whether or not his treatment was working. All he knew was that he was not feeling well. His condition meant that he no longer had the strength to push his homemade cart that he used to transport shoppers' groceries from the supermarket to the bus stand, and his aspirations to start a juice bar business evaporated. Worst of all, he was abandoned by his family. He was living in the back room of a neighbor's house. Despite being on HIV treatment, his immune system deteriorated, and he was later admitted to hospital, diagnosed with pneumonia, with AIDS. HIV, drug resistance, AIDS, discrimination in this era of modern HIV treatment. Thankfully, 2 weeks ago, I heard from Jason. His immune system was back on track, and he was pushing his cart again. We are so fortunate in Australia, thanks to the dedication and hard work of human beings like many of us today and organizations, we have made enormous progress towards our zero target. 88% of people living with HIV know their status. 73% are receiving treatment and 92% have viral suppression. These figures compare well with the United Nations 90-90 target. No other nation is close or remotely close to us. We should be proud of our achievement. But despite our best prevention efforts, 369 Victorians were newly diagnosed last year with HIV. They are families, friends, colleagues. But we will never give in. Every transgender, injection drug user, man, woman, gay or straight, whether they live in St. Kilda or the hills of Mount Beauty in rural Victoria, everyone must have access to the best healthcare services. I recently had dinner with a friend. She is diagnosed with HIV and suffers from HIV-related depression and chronic fatigue. She travels frequently from Mount Beauty, 5 hours, to get her HIV treatment and checkup. She's convinced that inflammation is aging her body. So naturally, when I told her that we were engaged in aging and inflammation studies, her first question was, why aren't we recruiting women as well? That's a valid question. The fact of the matter of that is that as researchers, we are limited by funding. But to get to zero, we have to do better. Getting to zero requires inclusion of everyone in our research. Getting to zero requires diversification of participants. Not only high-risk groups, but all risk groups, irrespective of sex, ethnicity, urban or rural, sexual orientation, or gender. We have to be innovative to address all of these. We have to use unconventional strategies. We have to reach people who are going through tough times. People who believe they have nothing to contribute to society. People who believe they would only be judged. In 2014 in Australia, the prevalence of HIV in gay men was 17%. That's as bad or worse as sub-Saharan Africa. If we eradicate polio, we can eliminate HIV, but we have to show the same determination and the same compassion and never give in. Each of us can play a role. For some, it will be great scientific breakthroughs. For others, it may be education, caring for those affected or at risk, or working towards justice and human rights for all. Imagine if we can empower our community organizations to take a bigger role. facilitating peer-based HIV testing and making easier access for testing and healthcare services. We must embrace technologies and new scientific discoveries. Use proven HIV methods such as PrEP. We have to diversify our reach. We cannot leave anyone behind. We must be proactive. Call a research community or organization. Participate in studies. Make a donation and volunteer. We are given a mandate. The question is, what role are we prepared to play to reach our zero target? Thank you.
Today is December 1, World AIDS Day. World AIDS Day. For more interviews and highlights, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast. Support your favourite LGBTI community radio station by heading over to Joy sponsor Audible. If you visit audible.com.au/joy and start your free trial, Audible will also give you a free audiobook just for signing up. audible.com.au/joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.